Hi, everybody. Welcome to my second podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the 10-week, 10-pound challenge and the first week, which I called Start Here, Start Now. I'm going to go through the three things that I talked about this week, but I kind of wanted to start with an overall idea, which is when you approach something really big like weight loss, do you want to lean into the solution? In other words, do baby steps and kind of take it one small step at a time? Or do you want to dive in? There are two different schools of thought. If you lean into something, you're sort of integrating it slowly, making changes slowly. And I can see the advantage to that. You know, that works for some people. We're really busy. The idea of getting, trying to do everything all at once seems really overwhelming. And yet the downside of that approach, the baby steps approach, is that you don't see much change. You don't see much improvement. When the changes you're making are really small, you don't see much improvement. And so sometimes we get discouraged and we give up and we go back to our old ways. And then, of course, nothing's changed. The other approach, the other school of thought, is to just dive in, kind of wholeheartedly throw yourself into something, give it everything you've got, make it the center of your attention and your focus. It may not be any surprise that I'm sort of a dive in kind of person. I'm all in when I'm in, and this works for me. When I made my decision to lose weight, it became the center of my life. It became everything, all my decisions, everything revolved around this. And I've had a lot of success with that, obviously. It's still a huge part of my life, and it isn't just because it's now my work. It's also just a huge part of my life. I don't take this for granted, I said once, I don't take healthy living tips and try to fit them into my day. And what I do is I live by healthy living principles and, build a life around that. So it's two different schools of thought. You have to decide for yourself which one suits your personality and which one fits, which one feels right to you. I'm on the dive in side myself. Anyway, back to our Start Here, Start Now, week one of the 10-week, 10-pound challenge. The blogs this week centered around three principles. They all have to do with the fundamental, basic, can't avoid it even if you want to, truth about weight loss, which is if you burn more calories than you take in, you will lose weight, That sounds so easy, right? And it's not revolutionary. I kind of made fun about that in the blog on Thursday because I sort of set myself up as the Zen master at the top of the mountain of weight loss enlightenment. And that was the big secret that I revealed. And when I pictured in my mind, revealing that secret to someone, that's why I had them throw me over the side of the mountain, because I just thought, who wouldn't be so exasperated when they heard that? Because of course we all know that already, right? But it is the fundamental principle of weight loss, and it is absolutely true. Of course, it's not that simple. There are lots of parts to it. So let's start at the beginning, which is you got to know where you stand right now. You got to know where you are. You have to know your own reality. So to do that, you need to track your calories. You have to find out how much you're consuming now. At my current weight of 155, I'm eating um, about 2,000, maybe 1,850, between 1,850 and 2,000 calories a day. Now, I exercise a lot already, I don't build those calories back in. In other words, I don't give myself extra calories for having worked out. But I know where I stand because when things get off track for me, I always plug back in to tracking my calories and finding out where I stand. The way I track my calories is on Fugicate.com, but there are lots of great systems for doing this on your smartphone or on your computer. Two reasons I like Fugicate so much is that it gives every food a letter grade. Now, how simple is that? And super straightforward, and anybody, even I, can understand that. And so I like that. It's very visual, very easy to understand. And then the other thing I like about it is you can scan food. So it just scans the UPC. Fugicate isn't unique in that approach. Lots of them do that. MyFitnessPal.com is a great tracking system, and there are one of the other things that I recommended in the blog was Weight Watchers, which is essentially a calorie counting program. They call it points, but you know, it's calorie counting. But their online tools are fantastic, and their online tools also do scanning and, you know, all those other things. They will, once you get your profile set up, they'll give you, a calorie range, or in the case of Weight Watchers, a point range for the day. And of course you can do it old school, pen and paper. You know, I described in the blog about, Connor, my son, how we did it when we did a program for him to lose weight. It was a calorie range that we were shooting for every day, but we had to turn in these logs, these food journals, at the end of the week every time we went to a meeting, and we were writing it down on paper, and I was looking up calories on a website called CalorieKing.com, and they have, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of foods on that website. They all do. So you got to start with what your reality is right now. And from there, the second step is to calculate your basal metabolic rate, or your BMR. Your basal metabolic rate is basically the number of calories that are required for your bodily functions. So think of it in terms of, you know, if you were laying in a coma in a bed, how many calories would your body burn? So you don't get to count it for a workout because you didn't do anything. So these are just the calories to make the blood flow through your, you know, your heart's pumping, your hair is growing, your nails are growing. Yada, yada, yada. That's how we get the BMR. Several things go into determining what your BMR is. Your age, unfortunately, your BMR goes down as you get older. So unfair. Your weight, because the more you weigh, the higher your BMR is. It just takes more blood circulating. The bigger you are, the more mass you have, you know, the higher your BMR is. Your gender, guys get more. Again, so unfair. And your lean muscle mass, which, yay, is the, you know, something that you can actually influence. This is where, you know, the whole muscle burns more than fat thing comes in. We hear this all the time, and it's true. Muscle does burn more than fat, and it's doing it while you're resting. You're not doing anything, but if you have more lean muscle mass, you burn more calories just to breathe, just to pump blood, all that stuff. So this is something you can actually do something about. You can improve your the percentage of your lean muscle mass as you know, compared to percentage of body fat. So we'll work on that as we get going. So knowing your BMR is a matter of then going on to one of these websites, just Google basal metabolic rate, calculate basal metabolic rate, and you'll get a whole bunch of them. They were listed in the blog. I listed three. It's not a perfect science. I did three different ones and I got three different answers, but they were close. They were all really close. Mine is 1350. I have pretty high for a woman. I have pretty high lean muscle mass. So lucky me, it's 1350. If yours isn't that high, well, you know, we can try to improve that by getting your lean muscle mass higher. But it's important to know that number for a couple reasons. I think, when we go through this whole process of trying to lose weight, many of us have done this before where we've either, slashed calories to the bone, to the point where we're taking in very, very few calories, and trying to starve ourselves thin. Or we do this yo-yo dieting thing where we, go really, really low and then we rebound and go up again. Yo-yo dieting and starvation kinds of approaches are so destructive. It can have a negative long-term impact on your BMR. So please don't do that. And also, I think it's important to know your BMR because you don't ever want to go below that number. Your body needs fuel to perform basic functions. It needs the right fuel and in the right combinations. So that's important. But you don't ever want to go below that number. I hear people going below, not only below their BMR, but going below 1,000 calories a day. That's just so counterproductive. Your body needs fuel. So, please don't do that. And then the third concept to the, part of the start here, start now of week one is that you need to run a 500 calorie deficit per day. So 500 calories times 7 days a week equals a 3,500 calorie deficit for the week. When we're shooting to lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks, 1 pound per week, 3,500 calories represents 1 pound. So if we have a deficit of 500 per day, we'll hit that 1 pound per week. The thing I wouldn't recommend trying to take all of that out in calories. In other words, reducing your calorie intake by 500 calories. That's a lot. If you're eating 2,000, which is, probably pretty conceivable what a lot of people do, it is pretty close to an average. That's a 25% reduction in your calorie intake for the day. You're going to notice that. You're going to be hungry. You're quite probably going to feel deprived. It's going to make you edgy and irritable. Okay, I'm just speaking from experience here, but this does not feel good. It's very noticeable. 500 calories is very noticeable, and I think you will not like it so much that you'll give up. It's too hard, I think. What I recommend instead is, go decrease your calories by 250 and then increase your exercise by 250. I always say we don't exercise so we can eat more, which is true. But if you're exercising with the intention of reducing your increasing your burn by 250, that's a really positive step. So I really, really like that idea. So if you're already exercising, great. We're going to ramp it up a little bit. If you're not exercising at all, hitting 250 calories, obviously it's a little bit hard to know exactly when you're hitting 250. It's about a half an hour's worth of exercise, though, as long as you're doing it at a pretty good pace, walking or running or swimming, some of the strength training things are going to be a little more problematic, especially to estimate how many you're burning. But if you're sweating pretty good for half an hour, that's a very good place to be, and I think you're pretty safe in making the assumption that you're hitting 250. So aim for a half an hour, and notice I only recommend that you exercise 5 days a week. You know, you can do six if you want to. I usually do six, but you have to allow yourself at least 1 day of rest. Your body needs time to recover. Muscles build while you're recovering. So recovery is absolutely critical, not just for the physical reasons of rebuilding muscle, but the mental reason. I mean, you got to have rest. You got to have a break, right? So we're going to be talking lots and lots more about exercise, but try that formula, the 250 calorie deficit and the 250 extra calorie burn to hit that 500. Now, the other part of the calorie deficit thing that I think is really important to note is that you can't just approach weight loss as if it's a matter of you know, burning more calorie, reducing your calorie intake. I mean, that's just it just seems like such a negative thing in the long term. Like, oh gee, I can just, you know, picture myself like slogging along. Oh dear, like Eeyore. Like, oh no, I gotta reduce my calorie intake. Oh dear, I gotta work out harder. You know, I mean, what the heck fun is that? No, I mean, really, what you need to do, yes, you can't, it's unavoidable. You gotta have the calorie deficit. But what you really need is a pleasure surplus. A pleasure surplus means that you make time in your life to do things that you find just extremely pleasurable, just fun, right? I mean, life's too short to just be worried all the time that, you know, that you're burning enough calories, that you're tracking all your calories. No, this whole process should be really fun. I know that seems kind of hard to imagine, but it's true. I think it's really worth the time to invest in thinking about what gives you pleasure, what things beyond food give you pleasure. Because, you know, if you make food one of your main sources of gratification, I think that's where we run into trouble. You know, we're so busy, we're so overscheduled, we have so many obligations and responsibilities all day long, and we give so much to so many, we sort of lose track of what it feels like to just enjoy. And when you make room in your life for pleasure, it has a way of diminishing. Food as a source of pleasure has a way of sort of influencing you less and less. It's such a subtle thing, and I wish I could quantify it for you. It's just something that I experienced while I was losing weight and finding, you know, working very consciously at finding other ways besides eating to bring pleasure into my life. Because I think I'm not alone in having this happiness deficit that I had for a really long time. I think that's a pretty common thing, and it's a reason that we turn to food, because it's there, it's everywhere, and it's socially acceptable, of course, right? And we you know, you need food anyway. It's unavoidable, but putting ourselves last all the time and you know, delaying your own happiness in favor of all the things that I know you have to do, it eats away at you, and you need to find time to, I mean, ways to work pleasure into your life. All right, anyway, enough about all that. Let's get back to the target calorie range. So I know. I tracked my calories, found out how many I was eating, about, like I said, between 1850 and 2000. And over time, that meant that I put on 10 pounds, which made me very grumpy. I don't like that. So I'm going to dive in, as I said. You can either lean in or dive in. I choose to dive to this problem. Know where I stand, and then I found out what my BMR was. It's 1350. So my target calorie range, if I take my, 1850-ish to 2000 that I was eating, my calorie range, then my target calorie range for the day is, 1600 to 1650 roughly. And so I'm tracking calories on Fujicate. I'm aiming for that 1650, every day. And so that's, that's where I start. I have to say, just like you, I've been doing this now for not quite a week. And I've lost weight. Okay, I'll be perfectly honest. I've lost 3 pounds. But the first three are easy, right? Everybody knows that. I know that. You know that. Everybody who's done this before knows that. And a lot, I'm sure I was carrying water weight. I had so many emails from people, asking me, was I hydrated enough? Do I really need to lose 10 pounds? Because I don't look like I need to lose 10 pounds and stuff. But I can't, the first three came off really easily. And what I did to hit my new target was I cut out the foods that that are problems for me. They're problems for me because I have difficulty keeping the portion size under control. If you follow me on Twitter at all, one of the problems is peanut butter. I think I tweeted once that I would eat dog food if it was covered in peanut butter, which could be a slight exaggeration because I'm known to do that. But peanut butter is a problem for me. And so, I typically have this, smoothie when I'm done with my workout, a peanut butter and jelly smoothie, which is seriously 4 ingredients, super easy: frozen mixed berries, peanut butter, protein powder, and cold water. And I just blend it up in my magic bullet and I have that when I get home. Now, it's fabulous, don't get me wrong. But see, the problem is that sometimes, okay, lots of times I stand there and I eat the peanut butter out of the container while I'm putting it into the smoothie. So the smoothie has 1 tablespoon of peanut butter, which is not a problem, but it's entirely possible that I'm consuming 3 tablespoons because I'm standing there eating it. So what I decided to do was instead of the peanut butter and jelly smoothie, then I would switch to chocolate milk, which is also a great post-workout food. So I've been drinking chocolate milk after my workouts. So that alone cut out some calories. And then the other thing I did was, just for now, I'm not saying forever because, holy cow, I could never give it up for the rest of my life. Actually, that was kind of funny now that I think about it. Holy cow. Because the food that I've decided to stop eating for a little while is cheese. Cheese is crack, right? Cheese is really, really tough. I have been known, I know, shocking, right? To stand there and eat it out of the bag, the shredded cheese. Oh, so good. So I'm not going to do that because it's really, just impossible to calculate the calories of that. I'm going to stand there and measure it out. No, I just eat it out of the bag. So it's easier for me just, for now, to just cease and desist with that behavior so that I don't take in those calories. So that's what I'm doing. So takeaways from week one are: track your calories. Know what you're eating. Know where you are, where you stand right now. Calculate your BMR on one of those BMR calculator websites, and don't ever, ever, ever go below that number. If you go below, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to smack you upside the head and say, stop it. That's really destructive. So don't do that. Create a 500 calorie per day deficit through calories and exercise, whichever combination you want, but 500 a day is your target. And then find time to prioritize non-food pleasure. It makes a huge difference. I know it's kind of sounds woo-woo, right? And like kind of a little fuzzy, not really like something that's like super easy to quantify, but you got to do it. You absolutely got to do it. Otherwise, it's just it ends up being all about deprivation and you will fail. So, I mean, it's really just that simple. So go do those things. Okay. Promise. Go do those things and then meet me back here or on the website or Facebook or wherever it is you come find me. And we're going to start week two because I'm turning the page. Week two is establish a schedule. And this is super duper critical to success because the more that you can create a routine out of this and the less that you have to, you know, think about it, the less that you're doing ad hoc eating and all this spontaneous kind of stuff, just sort of flying by the seat of your pants, the greater the likelihood that you will succeed. And we want you to succeed. It's a good thing. So anyway, there we go. We're off and running, gang. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.